Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. The title of our devotion today is Vultures That Throw Stones, and our verse is John 8:7. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. An ancient Jewish law specified that certain evils were to be punished by the people who were to stone the evildoer to death. Like our civil laws today, that law was intended to control crime and evil. But because human nature is what it is, some people found a ghoulish enjoyment in the event. It was almost like a play or a show that they didn't want to miss. In the early days of American history, a hanging had the same effect. People are not the only stone throwers in our world. When I read about a kind of vulture that lives in Egypt and throws stones, I thought of that ancient custom we have been discussing. The Egyptian vultures like to eat ostrich eggs, but because the eggs are so tough, the birds can't crack the shells without assistance. So a vulture picks up a stone in its beak, holds its head high, and with a downward snap of its neck, hurls the stone at the egg. About half the time, the stone misses the target, but the bird persists until the egg is broken. Then it and the other vultures gather for a feast. Egyptian vultures sometimes stand 50 yards from their target and use stones that weigh as much as 18 ounces. When a fake egg is placed before them, they continue to bombard it for as long as 90 minutes before giving up. I have sometimes heard people unflatteringly described as vultures, and often I'm inclined to agree, considering the way we sometimes huddle together and tear someone's reputation apart. There's an old saying that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. There isn't one of us who has the right to condemn another person because of some sin he has committed, as Jesus so forcefully showed. We are all sinners and equally guilty. But Jesus also taught us that we all might have victory over sin and eternal life through him. Next time you find yourself in a group that is saying unkind things about another, remember the Egyptian vulture. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to go into so many homes and to talk about education and to talk about best ways to minister to our children. Lord, I hold up to you a family that is in need of housing and just guide them. The housing market's very difficult right now. Help them not to go homeless. And I pray for a church that has some struggles and just be with them collectively. Lord, I pray for your soon coming and that each one of us will be ready and we will be reunited again with our loved ones. I thank you and praise you for that. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So I put in my Pinterest board, and I put on the board Windows on God's World, just following our devotion here. I put a video about the Egyptian vulture that you might want to share with your children. And then there's some crafts. And one of the cool thing that you might like to do is the footprint animal craft. So V, you know, V could be for vulture if you're looking for things that would go with the alphabet. But if you just want to make it some nice, memorable vultures, you have your child step in black paint and then put their footprint on a piece of paper. And then they fill in the rest, the feathers, the head, and the bottom of the toe part of the foot is what's resting on the branch. And then I put a toilet paper roll vulture craft. I put a paper plate vulture craft. And then I just put another little cute vulture that I saw there with wiggly eyes. And I also put a vulture template that's more realistic. Anyway, you wouldn't think there would be so many ideas about vultures, but we see vultures more than any other bird around. So vultures is a natural thing to study. And so just have fun studying it. Curriculum Corner. I like to have something that I designate as my forest classroom, and I use it extensively in the fall and in the spring. And I tell my students, let's go to our forest classroom. Well, the forest classroom could be the grassy part of the field, or it can be into the forest. They really like it if it's into the forest. We've been doing a thing on insects, and we've looked now through all the grassy areas and the swampy areas, and we have found some really cool insects. But this week, we're going to go into the forest, and we're going to look for insects under bark and under rotting trees and leaves. The forest classroom should become part of your curriculum. Even if you take a math worksheet out and do it in the forest on a nice day, that's really a fun thing to do. But if you can tie in a activity that isn't a worksheet, it's even better. You can collect things, you can count things, you can talk about fractals. Fractals are replicated and demonstrated in nature over and over again. Fractals are one of God's main engineering things. So if you want to go look at fractals, I'll put something in my forest classroom on fractals. You're free to go and look, check out what I've collected there on my Pinterest site. Go to MR Gamblin 2. It's all spelled out MR GAMBLIN and the number 2, MR Gamblin 2. And you will just be wowed with how many things we've collected that are tied to shows. It's a great thing. So have fun learning. Have fun learning and developing your own curriculum. Have fun learning in doing hands-on stuff. And so today we just talked about developing your curriculum for your forest classroom. Questions parents ask. Here's a good question. How many hours a week do you let your junior work? This is usually a 17-year-old. Susan's daughter just got a job for the school year, and they want her to work 20 hours a week, 28 hours a week. She thinks that's a little too much to get her class work done. She wants to know what I think. There are laws that say, you know, students can't work outside of the normal school hours for that district. And a lot of employers don't know that, and they get pretty cheap labor from these homeschooling high schoolers. And I'm not here to tell on anybody, or, you know, I think it's great. I know that when I worked at private high schools, we used to have one group come and do their studies in the morning from 7:30 till noon, and then they started work. And we had the afternoon group then go to school, and they'd already been working in the morning. But then the laws came in and said, no, we can't do that anymore. 28 hours is quite a lot of hours for someone who's just going into the workforce. And I know my grandson, who was in public school, he started working after school and liked it so much that he decided he didn't like school at all. So there's a happy medium there where you're wanting your young people to emerge into adulthood and do the adult right thing and get ready for the workforce. But you also want them to finish their studies. And depending on you as a parent, you might be saying, look, your studies are your first job. That's what you need. That needs to be your priority. That's what you need to do. Or the job might be what God's calling her to do for the rest of her life. And so that becomes a priority. Either way, it's ultimately you as the parent, you pray about it and make the decision. Well, that's my advice. take it for whatever it is worth. Now, we're almost ready to go to break. I want to remind you again that we've started this new initiative where you can go on to homeschoolcompanion.org and you can give a donation for any amount. And the first four donations will receive our book by Pastor David Johnston. He has four books here. Actually, he has five books. He has A Time to Kill and A Time to Heal that's specifically for soldiers, and it really helps them with PTSD. So when you give that donation, depending on the order in which you get it, you will get one of these books. We're happy to mail it to you. We're so thankful that you're listening. And with that being said, I hope you stay tuned for the next interview that we're doing with Pastor David Johnston. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome. I'm here with Pastor David Johnston. And if you've had an opportunity to listen to two other interviews that we've done, you will realize how important it is not only for you to educate your children, but to understand yourself and your own self-identity in Jesus Christ. So I wanted to talk about some strategies or some tools. In the one book you have in the index, you have an inventory where someone can go through and check off?
Yep. Yeah, they could very well do that. And the section is called the 30 Consequences of Not Liking Yourself.
30 Consequences. I want to look at that. Do you know which book it's in?
You're in the right book.
He's written three books, and we've gotten to talk a little bit about how you see yourself, and then the other one is Why You Were Born, A Blueprint for Discovering Your Life Potential. And then there's a third book that I want to hit upon in a few minutes, and it's called For Every Soldier, There is a Time to Kill and a Time to Heal. So we are looking in the book called Why You Were Born, and these are the consequences for not liking yourself. Wow, that's pretty powerful. I mean, so you've taken a verse, woe unto him that striveth with his maker.
Uh-huh.
So put that in our everyday language.
You're in big trouble when you reject yourself, because your real self was designed by the universe's best designer. My wife's an interior designer, but she does the interior buildings, you know. But God designs the interior people. And so you don't want to fight with God about what he's made. You don't want to try to pervert the creation he made, which is you. I tell people, I want to tell you the truth about you, no matter how wonderful it is. Because every person is a product of divine, I wouldn't say technology, but it's certainly intention. I mean, he's got you. And things that you think are negatives are there because they're going to work for really good reasons. That's why we get promises like that, you know, Romans 8. And Phillips' translation, to them that love God and are called according to his plan, everything fits into a pattern for the good. Nothing can harm you. I mean, you're in great shape, you know. So,
yeah, and you know, when you come under attack, as a servant of the Most High, you will often come under attack. It's the iniquity in you that is nervous and anxious and feels it like it needs to be defensive.
That's right.
Because they might be lying about you. They might be saying things that aren't true. They might be criticizing, scrutinizing, undermining your ministry. But that's from your point of view, that is really iniquity. We're worrying about ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't like yourself, you'll try to be something you're not. If you don't like yourself, you will never have peace. If you don't like yourself, you'll never be content. If you don't like yourself, you probably shop a lot.
Well,
materialism.
Capitalism. It's all there.
And everybody is reaching and clutching and grasping for things to satisfy. But if you don't like yourself, it's an endless search. You're never going to get there. Because the true joy of life comes from realizing that you really are somebody designed by God, embedded with treasures. And when you discover them, why would you want to be somebody else? And if you're somebody else, who will ever be you? You know, so...
People
who don't like themselves are very subject to sexual temptation because they see that as a mechanism of somebody likes me.
Yes.
As opposed to, hey, they're using you, honey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the list goes on. One of the interesting things about not liking yourself is that people tend to medicate.
Yes.
They don't like themselves. I need a drug. I need something to make me feel good.
I need
to get an upper. I need a down. I need something, right?
I need something to make me thinner. I need something to bulk up my muscles. I need something to make me look younger.
The Lord looks after that. I mean, no, but yeah, you're right. But it includes mental adjusting drugs.
Mm-hmm.
When will we learn that there is no chemical cure for a spiritual issue? When will we learn that? This culture has not learned that. There are a number of dynamics, of course, within the culture that probably contribute to that. The love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. You can't make money if you don't sell the drugs, you know? So
yes, unfortunately.
So people don't like themselves. They turn sometimes to medication, to feel good about themselves, and feel good drugs, right? Probably the worst, Dr. Rose, and nobody knows better than you, and I'm so admirable of your expertise in the subject we're talking about, is self-destructive behaviors
mm-hmm.
that lead to the potential of suicide.
So sad.
Why would nobody would kill something they love? You wouldn't destroy something you really like. You would not damage something you respect. So the very fact that people are into self-destructive behaviors of all sorts and sizes, and think about self-murder, is proof they don't like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the cure has got to go back all the way. It's not about your circumstances. I mean, problems are here to stay. Trouble is here. It's not going to go away. Now, the Christian's gotten a big advantage on this one. For example, if you go to James chapter 1, let me give you Philip's translation, if I might. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as your friends. Realize they have come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. And if in the process you don't know how to meet one of these particular problems, you have only to ask of God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel guilty or ashamed. But let us sincere faith, without secret doubts, if it really wants to know God's will or not. So problems are different for us. They're not stumbling blocks, they're stepping stones. But all of these truths that are so empowering to us are birthed in the proper identity that you are God-authored and that you really are always somebody and you don't have to try to be anybody else, and that everything you need is already in you.
Amen.
Oh.
I don't want to end the show without talking about your third book that you have here in front of me. For every soldier, there is a time to kill and a time to heal. And I think the perfect segue is the fact that often our guilt of having done something in the past makes us feel like we can't come to God.
Mm.
And so talk a little bit about this book. Every soldier, there's a time.
First of all, we must not miss what you just said. It was so pertinent. That's why we call him Savior, you know? There isn't anything broke that he can't fix. There is not a sin or a number of sins that he cannot forgive. But he doesn't just forgive, he cleanses. He doesn't just forgive and cleanse. He reestablishes you back on track again. I mean, this is, what a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and most people know the opening verses where it says, to everything there's a season and a purpose to everything under heaven. And it begins with a time to be born and a time to die. And boy, that would be a good conversation sometime. The second verse after that says, a time to kill, a time to heal. Anybody who has killed or had to kill, even legitimately, has to heal.
Amen.
So, here's our veterans. They've been to the killing fields. They've gone through traumas we didn't imagine. They have to. And I love what Ronald Reagan says. We don't kill them because we hate our enemies. We have to fight because we love those who are behind us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they had to shoot somebody up close. They went through his pockets. They found a picture of his wife and children. And they repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back to America. And they live with memories that are just torturous. That's why the statistics on suicide among veterans is so high. I think it's about 22 a day right now. Every day.
22 a day. And we've just been talking about, you know, people who kill themselves.
Yeah.
They don't understand their self-worth in God.
But these people have to recover from the killing.
Yes.
So this book is a gift book for veterans.
It's hardcover.
Yeah,
very attractive.
And it's an easy read, 25-minute read on it. Some big print and lots of pictures, military pictures kind of thing. But it's God's way of resolving PTSD.
Mm.
And if a soldier follows this biblical instructions in this book, he'll sleep. He won't need medications. He'll be able to talk, and all of the symptoms that are so dreadful are overcome. And that's, again, isn't it why we love Jesus so very much? He really knows how to fix everything.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being with us. We've come to the end of our show. We've been talking with Pastor David Johnston about how you see yourself, the source of your struggle, and how to conquer. We've been talking about his newest book, Why You Were Born, The Blueprint for Discovering Life's Potential. And we hope you go to the website.
NothingButTheTruth.org.
NothingButTheTruth.org.
Or the books are available on Amazon or Kindle. If you want the audio version, they're on Audible.com.
Fantastic.
We can serve anybody we want to do that.
Thank you again. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.